This morning's reading is coming from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 12 through 18. That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, 12 through 18, if you'd like to open your Bibles and follow along. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into the Spirit. For in fact the body is one, not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased.
Each one of us has a role in the church. Each one of us has a purpose in the body of Christ. Oftentimes it's differentiated by gender, and we mean who can be leaders, who cannot be leaders. But today I want us to consider the thought that every member is important in the church. We have, each of us has a function in the growth of and edification of the church. Each member has a vital role in the body of Christ. And I want us to look at that today in how we make sure we know what our role is in the church. You see, it was preordained that Christ's body would be the church. And when we look at this, we understand that God, before the foundation of the world, established it is through Jesus Christ, and it is the body of Christ that will be those who believe in Christ. And that the church is where those who are in Christ, those who will be saved from their sins eternally. And we look at Christ's body, we know that God came in the flesh, and that is in the body makes up our flesh, and Jesus came here. In Jesus' body, he did not sin, he did not corrupt himself in any way. Jesus' body was beaten and crucified on the cross, as we just remembered in the Lord's Supper, remembering the death of Jesus and the importance of that for each and every one of us. And we also know that Jesus' body died, and in Jesus' body saw no decay in the tomb. And Jesus' body was risen. And Jesus' body also ascended into heaven. And we know that the church is Jesus' body here on earth. And Jesus is the head of that body. And that this is all part of God's plan. And we know that it is done before the foundation of the world. And this was important for us to know. And then we see in our scripture reading the entrance into that body. We see in chapter 12 in 1 Corinthians, in verse 13, it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." We see the entrance into that body. It is baptism. We must believe in Jesus Christ. We must confess that he is the Son of God, repent of our sins, and be baptized. And that is, once we do that, we are added to the church. Acts 2, in we see that. And also here, we see that we are added to the body. And I want us to talk about the importance of the body and the function of the body. The purpose of the body is work together to get to our goal. What is our goal individually and collectively? It is to get to heaven, to get to eternity with our God. And that should be the main importance. And how do we do that? By first entering the body of Christ. and doing the following the teachings of Jesus Christ, and do the things that are written in Scripture, and such as we are striving to be that one body. And then we see the other purpose of the body as we work together to get to our goal, which is heaven. We also are working together to get others to heaven as well. If that is where we are striving to do is to go to heaven, that we're striving to get there, don't we want other people to go there as well? And don't we want to see maybe our friends or our family, our neighbors, get that opportunity to go to heaven? Well, how do they go? How do we get them to do that? Well, they have to be in the body of Christ. And how do we get them in the body of Christ? We need to teach them. We need to teach them, and we need to be united together in that. And when we think about the body and how it was read here, in each part of the body is important for the function, for the body to work right. And ultimately to get to our goal, to get others to our goal as well. And we cannot work against each other. Yes, God has made the function of the body to work a certain way. And that function is Christ is the head of the body. And when Christ is the head of the body, he is the authoritative being. He is the one that directs the body in the way we should go. Now, we have that in Scripture. We have what God, through Christ Jesus, wants us to do to make sure that we are following the teaching. And we have the Scriptures to do that. And we also know that Christ is in heaven. He's in heaven, and he has all authority in heaven and in earth. And over the church, and he is directed that there be a proper function of that body. Where they're in the local areas, that would be the elders leading the congregation, the deacons there to serve, and there's a proper function for each person. And we see that the members of that body make up that body in that local area. And so we have a purpose, we have a function. And we look, God has perfectly planned the body of Christ to assist in faithfulness and be useful to the kingdom of God. Now this requires each one of us to examine our part in the church and our helpfulness in the church. And I want us to spend a good bit of time this morning in members help the church. And this is where we look at our role. Each individual one it has a role in the church. And when we look at this, we saw in our scripture reading, verse 13, that we are all baptized into one body. And whether they're Jews or whether they're Greeks or whether they're slaves or whether they're free, we've all been made one in Christ Jesus. We are one collective body to work together. And when we understand that, that means we're not striving to do something against the body. We're not looking at another part of the body and saying, oh, I'm jealous of you or I want that authoritative head. What we are striving to do is work together for the purpose of getting to our goal and the purpose of spreading the gospel so others can be in part of that body. And we see that each of us has a function. And we look at how members help the church, and this is, we're going to look at each individual, ourselves. We see that this requires each of us to examine our part in the church and our helpfulness in the church. Members help the church, and I'm going to look at three different ways: by their faithfulness, by their commitment, and by their steadfastness. And we're going to dig into each one of those, and I want us to look at how members help the church by their faithfulness. Members that put the church first are a great help to the church. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21, if you'd turn there, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. Paul writes, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now him who is able to exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. When we look at this scripture, we know that it is through faith that we follow after Christ, and that Christ may dwell in us, and that it is through faith in that we are rooted and grounded. That's the knowledge of what Christ has done for us, what God has done for us, that we can be rooted and grounded in love, and we'll be able to comprehend and understand what knowledge we have in what God has done. That God may dwell in us in fullness. The fullness of God can dwell in us. And whenever we examine this, what ends up happening when God, when we understand the knowledge and we have we look at what God has done for us, we see that God's power working in us and through us. And what ultimately happens when the body comes to this understanding, the body does what God wants us to do, God is glorified. And it's, we see when we put the church first, it's God's going to be glorified. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We look at Matthew 6 and verse 33, and we know what Jesus said here, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things, and those talking about the necessities of life, will be added to you. We need to put God first and put the church first. And members help the church by their faithfulness by putting the church first. Members also help members also help the church by letting their light shine. We know that Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 through 16, if you want to turn there, but I'm sure you're familiar with this, it talks about how we are light. It says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do you light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all that are in the house. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. When we look at that, members help the church when they let their light shine. And let's think about this, and I want us to think about it in this way. Imagine that the room is completely dark. Imagine that we could not see one thing, but we had one little match. And we make up that match. And when we light that, then we can see just a little bit, at least see the light. But when each Christian lights their match, what happens to that dark room? We begin to be able to see. We often talk and we often pray for this lost and dying world. What we need is Christians to let their light shine. Let their light shine so that they will see our good works. That means the world. And what will ultimately happen, they'll turn to God and they'll praise God. Now, we understand that we need to teach them and they need to see that through teaching. But we have to spark an interest, and no pun intended there. But our light has to shine in this world. When the members of the body of Christ, when we use our role as a light to this world, and we spark that interest, we can lead people to Christ. We look at this as we let our light shine, we can be a light to this world. We see Paul wrote about this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. He said, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as light in the world, holding fast the words of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and I may not run in vain or labor in vain. when we look at our role in the church is to be a light. And we look at us, are we being the light that we should be in the world? It said that in the time of Paul that this was a crooked and perverse generation. And he wanted them to be a light of the world. How are they a light of the world? They're holding fast the words of life. We too can be a light of the world if we would hold fast the words of life. And when members, when we use this as our role in the church to be a light to the world, we help the church. We also can look at how members help the church by faithfulness. We see members who live clean lives. That helps the church. We know in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And we know the opposite side of that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and in verse 6, it says, "Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" So when we understand the two verses that are opposite of each other, we see that the pure in heart will see God and the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we being the body of Christ, our role in the church is to be holy and to be like Christ. And so therefore, we must do our best to not to sin and strive to get sin out of our lives. When we repent, and we do that by repenting of our sins, having them washed away, and striving to walk in the light, and the blood of Jesus will continue to cleanse us of our sins. Now, we will struggle. We will have temptations, and that's where the body of Christ is there helpful, to encourage us, to build each other up, and to strive towards our goal, which is in heaven. And we have the body of Christ to help us in that way, to be faithful. But when we look at this, we see members who live holy lives help the church, because we see also their light shining, they're striving to do what's right, and we also see members who go about doing good, that brings light to the church. So we see the members help the church by faithfulness, by putting the church first, by letting their light shine, by living holy lives, and by going out and doing good. I want us to look next at members help the church by their commitment. When we look at our commitment and in our role in the church, we made a commitment to Christ. We made a commitment to God when we entered the kingdom of God. When we were baptized into Christ, we made a commitment, and we need to stick to our commitment. And that's when we looked at this world and what it had to offer, the members who have given up the world for good and put it in its proper place, having the proper world view, as we looked about last week in Ecclesiastes and Solomon, how he looked upon the world and it was all vanity because he understood the purpose. We're striving towards our goal. And when members help the church by their commitment, is we can look at these members and they have the proper worldview. And they're... Jesus brought up the statement, what is worthy of exchanging my soul over? You know, he was pretty much getting to the point, there is nothing in this world, there's nothing that this world has to offer that I would exchange my home in heaven for. And when members have that commitment, it helps the church. Members who are attend when the body is gathered together. I want us to consider this when we look at the body and the importance of the body and the function of a body. We know that a physical body works well when it's all healthy and when it's all together. But when something happens, whether we hurt our leg or worst case, when we are together and maybe we have a handicap of some sort, what happens to the body? It doesn't work properly. Well, when the the body is gathered together, and the body is supposed to come together. We know that it was commanded that way by the Lord. We understand it was commanded that we are to gather together on the first day of the week to give thanks to God, to remember Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. And when the members come together to do that in worship, every member should be there. The whole body should be there. The whole body in this area should be in attendance for that, because the body has come together. And we know that it is good for each of us to be here, each part of the body to come together. And I want us to think, we know in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 is not forsaking the assembling together. Well, that makes sense, because if we're one body, united together for one purpose, then in order to function right, the body has to be together completely. And we can't forsake that. We think about that when we come to worship. Now, I'm a numbers guy, and I know that God accepts our worship as long as we're doing it in spirit and in truth and according to God's word. But if there is five members of that one body that are in one local area, or if there is 150, it doesn't matter the number, but the importance is that the whole body is gathered together in worship. And when the whole body is gathered together in worship, we can praise God together, and it will bring glory and honor to his name. But what about when the body is come together to study the word of God? Isn't that just as important? When we come together as a whole to study the Bible, it is important for us to grow together in the knowledge of God's word. And what it will help each of us do is to grow in that knowledge, so that we can get to our home in heaven, so that we can help others to get there, that we can also look at Scripture and, just like Jesus did, refute the temptations that are given by the devil. And we can then strive to help one another in the teaching and also in the refuting of error. It is important for members to be part of that whole body when they come together. And we think about this, especially in times where or days when it's designed to do the work of the church. If the many hands make light work, or we can look at it in another sense, we could do more work because we have more hands involved. Members help the church by their commitment, by viewing the world properly, by being in attendance, and also members who give like they should. In Acts chapter 20, in verse 33 through 35, Paul wrote this. In Acts chapter 20, in 33, he said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know this, that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak." And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When we also know in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, in talking about the saints and in the giving, we understand that we are to gather together. And he said, "Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given orders to the church of Galatia, so you do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come." We see here, when members give like they should, they help the church. They help in their commitment to the church by giving like they should. We know that Jesus said, "Is blessed is the one who gives than receives." When we look at this, Paul didn't want their silver. Paul didn't want their gold or apparel, but he wanted them to give back to God. And we understand when he offers that commandment, and it was from God, that on the first day of every week, they were to lay something aside in store. I look at it this way. We are to budget and to plan to give back to God and to do it. And that is what we should do as members of the body of Christ. When we are make a commitment, we're putting the world proper. We're viewing the world properly. We're members, attendance, and we also see by our commitment we give like we should. And also, I want to look at it as last, we stand for unity. It says in Philippians 3 and verse 16. Paul said, let us walk in the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. We are to work together in our unity. As one body, we are working towards our goal. And we should walk by that manner, and we should train our minds that we are not going against the body. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul begged and pleaded with the brethren by the name of Jesus Christ that we all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among us, and that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Paul was trying to look at our commitment and look at the body. And when we look at the body and the commitment that we're making, that we are part of that body and we should not have any divisions among us. That we should all speak the same thing. And how do we do that? We all are individual parts of this body. Well, that's why we have God's word. That he has given us, that we can look to God's word. That we can know how to worship God. That we can know how to live faithful to him. And that we know how we should function as a body. You see, members help the church by their commitment. Their view of the world properly. Their attendance. And give as they should and stand for unity. The next, I want us to look at the members help the church by their steadfastness. When we look at this, as we just mentioned, the Word of God, it is so important that we stand fast in the Word of God. We know that it is God's revelation for us, and we know that it is sealed through Jesus Christ. We know it is sealed through the Holy Spirit, that we have everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have everything that we need in order for us to be faithful to God. We need to be steadfast in it. And in doing so, we each member needs to know what God's word says. Now, does that mean we have to know it all? No, that we should be striving to learn it every day. That we should be striving to gain more knowledge the best that we can. And when we look at our steadfastness, we need to stand fast in God's word, that we can refute those errors that was mentioned in our Bible class, the things that come up, that we, especially even dealing with the entrance into the body of Christ, there are many different ways that people will say, but we know that there is only one way to enter the kingdom of God, and that is to be added to the body of Christ through baptism. And we understand how that works. And we need to refute the error of this world. We also need to keep our focus on eternity. Members help the church by their steadfastness in the Word of God, that we also keep our focus on our main goal. Sometimes we need to bring ourselves back in and rein ourselves in to say, you know what, this is what is important, getting each of us to heaven. We have to be steadfast in our faith, steadfast in the Word of God, and steadfast in keeping our focus. And as we are here, we need to also help those that are struggling, help those that are sick, help those who are less fortunate of us. We need to be one unified body of Jesus Christ working together. And how do we do that? By keeping the commands of God, by loving others the way we should. If we are one body of believers, we know that God is with us, I ask you, who could ever defeat us? Does the devil or any other evil have a chance when the body of Christ stands in unity? God designed it this way. We can, and I look at this and I say that we could be one body marching to eternity. I want us to look at what 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. I want us to think about this as we look at each of us as members of the body of Christ. What does he say? He said, you are a chosen race, or a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are you are his special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once a people, but now are people of God, who were not obtained, who you had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What Peter was making here is a rally cry for Christians to understand your role in the kingdom, your role in the church, that you are a holy people, that you are God's people, that you are a special people that proclaim praises to him, that you were called out of darkness into his light. So I ask the question, what is your role in the church? You see, the most important thing is to be in the body of Christ. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But we also must be an active part of the body of Christ. When we think of our role, we need to be unified together, as Paul begged us to be, as Jesus prayed for us to be in John chapter 17. And as he died on the cross, that we be one body together. And we see that we need to be unified together as God had planned us to be. In order to be a member of the body of Christ, you must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. In obeying the gospel, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he is the one who came in the flesh, that he lived the perfect life, and that he died on the cross for everyone. You see, we each have a role in the body of Christ, but we first and foremost must be in the body of Christ. And I ask you, if you are not in the body of Christ, why not? Be in the body of Christ. We're striving together for eternity to get to our home in heaven. If we can help you in your walk of life to get right with God and to get into the body of Christ, we have an opportunity that you could do that this morning. And we'll do that as we stand and as we sing.